listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now bring you the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will. A practical and fun approach to understanding, developing, and applying the truths contained in the gift of living in the divine will.
And thank you, Larry, from Radio Maria. I want to welcome everyone, all priests, deacons, sisters, brothers and sisters of divine will, and oblates to this, the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will. I'm Peter DePalm, and I'll be joined with Mother Gabriel Marie, or by Mother Gabriel Marie, and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will, coming to us live via live stream from Italy. And we're going to begin with prayer. And, you know, we've been sort of rotating and juggling the prayers, the opening prayers, and just thinking that, you know, when the apostles asked Jesus, how do we pray? What did he say? He gave the Our Father. And actually, the gift of living in the divine will is the fulfillment of the Our Father. Those are not my words, but Jesus' words. So let's begin with the Our Father. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of the Divine Will, please pray for us. Fiat. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So again, it's just a joy to be here. We're grateful to have awakened today, both physically as well as spiritually. And we truly are blessed to be alive at this time. Truly. God knows the times we're in. He knows who is going to be alive at this time. And he's predestined us to do that, to be here. So we have a job to do. And we can't become despondent or fearful, because that will engage us in self-paralysis. We won't be able to function. And, you know, I think it's a good time to introduce, so I don't want to wait any longer, Mother Gabriel Marie, the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will from Italy. You know, Mother, I'm not sure about you, but we're getting phone calls, we're getting some emails. Yeah, people are a little anxious lately. They're a little, maybe for lack of a better word, uptight, restless. About the uncertainty of what's going on, the direction of where the world is going, the country's going, perhaps even the church is going. So a lot of fear, a lot of negativity, and they seem to be having difficulty staying with the positive, staying with the momentum that God has built in each and every one of us every day. Any advice?
Yeah, well, you know, our Lord told Louisa, when you worry, out of his will. If we want to live in his divine will, we must look at the positive things. There's a lot of positive things we can look at in our lives. Right now, the sun is shining, the weather's beautiful, you know, we have food to eat, we have a roof over our heads, you know, so many things we can be grateful to God for, all of his creation and divine will. We can do our acts and rounds in divine will. That's how we keep our head above the water, I think, doing acts and rounds in divine will. That's how we die to ourselves. We empty ourselves of us. And the more empty we become of ourselves, and the more he can fill us with himself. And that's when we have joy and peace. You know, the world is topsy-turvy. Right now, things happening in the church everywhere. Our Lord told Louisa that that would happen in order for the divine will to reign. So it's a good thing. And what I keep thinking of when I hear all these things, we don't hear everything here. I know there's things going on in Afghanistan now. We don't hear all the news, you know. We don't have a television. We don't watch news. We get some things on internet sometimes. But and we pray for those things. But, you know, you can't do anything about it but pray for all of those people and all of those things that are happening in the world. Pray for the church. Pray for the priest in the church. But, you know, if you spend a lot of time thinking about these things, reading about them, worrying about them, it doesn't do any good. Worry never accomplishes anything. It doesn't change anything. I think I read something yesterday about worry. Worry is a source. It comes from pride. It's pride because we think by worrying, we're going to change the situation. You know, that is, we're going to make it better by worrying about it. And so it's our pride. So if you have a worry problem, which we, most of us do, I know I do sometimes, you know, that means I'm proud. I got to grow in humility. I have to die to myself. I have to do more acts and rounds in divine will to be emptied of me so that he could fill me with himself. Otherwise, when things get bad, we're going to fall apart. This is nothing compared to what might happen in the future. because the world and the church is going to be crucified before it rises again. And that's what we're seeing right now. We're seeing all kinds of things happening. It happened suddenly when the COVID started. It seemed even before the COVID started, it happened. Things were happening, but that was like the icing on the cake. Things went downhill from then on with the lockdown, people not being able to get together socially. I think our Lord wanted to use all of that to get us to look at Him, to spend more time in prayer, to stop all the entertainments, all the socializing as much as we were doing, and to focus on Him. He gave us that opportunity, you know, and I think we have to look at it on the bright side that God's going to bring. The scripture says He brings a greater good out of everything that happens to us if we love Him. So if you love Him, He brings a greater good out of everything that's happening in your life.
Mm-hmm. Right. And He's taking it from us, too. He says to Louisa and to us as well, that when you start to lose things, know that it's Me taking them from you. And what is He taking from us? He's taking actually the frivolous aspects of our life. Yeah, things that we have enjoyed before. But now, again, He says He's going to change our palate. He's going to change what we like and dislike. And now, you know, I guess He's molding us to get serious, because these are serious times. Joyful, but yet serious times, sister.
But also worrying means not trusting in Jesus, right. Because everything is in charge of Jesus, even the bad stuff. Of course, Jesus is not happy when with all the bad things are happening in the world. But for some reason, He allowed to happen. We don't know why. Maybe someday we will know why. But we need to trust in Jesus that everything is on His hand. He knows what's why all he's allowed all these things to happen. And also we need to see the positive side of everything that's happening. I know sometimes it's hard to see the positive side because it seems like the negative are much more than the positive, but we really need to sit down if we have to and try to see, even if it's only one thing of a positive side that we can think of, but we need to see that and to thank God and to praise God for that positive thing that we can see.
Yeah, I've got one suggestion. Just think about the end. God wins.
Yeah.
He wins.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, and even, you know, the Lord says in scriptures that the gates of hell will not prevail. So we have to have faith in what He says. Read the Bible, read the divine will. But, you know, when read what Jesus says, he tells us to have faith. To trust in Him, you know, to hope against hope. When things look hopeless, that's when we need to have more faith and hope all the more. And, you know, that reminds me of we were part of a divine will retreat in San Marino. And I was talking to one of the ladies and she said, you know, most of us here didn't know anything about the divine will until the pandemic. So it was during the pandemic that they were introduced to the divine will. So like Mother says, the Lord brings a greater good out of everything. I just want to, just touching on this, it reminds me of something I read a while back, and I just want to read this. Jesus is telling Louisa that the soul must live up high. One who lives up high cannot be harmed. He tells her, "My daughter, your soul must try to maintain the flight of an eagle. That is, to dwell up high, above all of the low things of this earth, and so high that no enemy can harm it. In fact, one who lives up high can harm the enemies, but cannot be harmed. And she must not only live up high, but must try to have purity and sharpness of eye, similar to those of an eagle. Though living up high through the sharpness of her sight, she penetrates the divine things, not in passing, but by chewing them to the point of making of them her favorite food, despising any other thing. And she also penetrates the necessities of her neighbor, nor is she afraid to descend into their midst and do them good, and if needed, she lays down her life. Through the purity of her sight, she makes the love of God and the love of neighbor from two to one, rectifying everything for God. So must the soul be if she wants to please Me." So I think, you know, seeing things in the spirit, in the spiritual light, realizing, look, we live in this earth, but we are not from this earth. We belong to our Lord. We belong in heaven. And seeing things in that light, that the Lord is in control, even though it seems like he's not. Sometimes, you know, the secular world wants to make it seem like he isn't, but really he is. So we need to just have trust in him, have faith, and know that he loves us, and have trust in his mercy.
I love that on high. You know, I was thinking while you were saying that, sister, I was thinking about, you know, taking a toddler, let's say, to the beach, and you take him or her to the water, and, you know, they're a little waiting. And when a little wave comes in, what do? You pick up the child, and the child is not touched by the wave. It's sort of, you know, when we get to, I like to speak about the operative rest also that Jesus talks about. He says, just come, fly to me. And, you know, and there's a lot of talk, mother, too, about, you know, refuges and setting up these homes to protect. And yeah, that probably will happen. But I think the first and foremost, the refuge that we all must run to, leap to, is the refuge of the blue mantle of our Blessed Lady. Because I think she's the one that's going to determine, she'll let us know who's to store food, who's to build a shelter, who's to do this. She's the orchestrator. God has given her all this permission, this power in which to do so. And again, I think we were talking about it also, you were saying when all seems to be lost, Sister Benedicta, I remember the Our Lady's message to Fatima. She actually said, I'm paraphrasing them, when all will appear to be lost, that will begin the triumph of the Immaculate Heart, my Immaculate Heart. And I think that's where we're in right now, Mother.
Right. I think the Immaculate Heart is going to triumph at the same time as the divine will reign, you know, but I think she's going to crush the head of Satan, you know. But, you know, I was reading too, this lady who's talking about worrying in her young married life days, you know, they had little children, babies, and she would be worried about the bills, sitting at the table, worried about the bills, how they're going to pay these bills. They had more bills than they had money. And her husband would be on the floor in the living room playing with the kids, having a good time. And she was irritated because he wasn't there worrying with her in the kitchen about the bills. And she said how much time she wasted. That, you know, God gives us time. We have time right now. And we waste a lot of time worrying about things that we can't change, that we can't do anything about. And her husband, when she would call him to come and help her worry, he would say, well, no, God's going to, we trust in God. He's taking care of us all along the way. We've always had whatever we need. Don't worry, you know. And he did. God provided all their needs for them. And she says she realized how much time she wasted worrying about things she couldn't do anything about anyway. We like to have pity parties. You know, we want somebody else to have the pity party with us. Right. We don't like to have a pity party by ourselves. We want to include other people. So we complain. And the more we complain, the bigger the problem gets in our hearts, you know. So you have to think positively. You have to speak positively, think positively. What's in your mind goes into your heart, and then it comes out of your mouth. And so you have to change your mind. You have to start looking at things in a brighter way. Thanking and praising God for everything, whether you feel it in your heart or not, you just say it anyway. And you're going to find that your day is going to get lighter and lighter and lighter, and you won't be so worried. But know that, you know, these things will happen, but we just have to be prepared spiritually. That's what we have to do, you know. And our Lord, we don't want to waste time, because our Lord has just given us so much time to live our lives. Life will be over. You know, this is just a passing place. And we don't have to worry about refugees or anything, because our body is just a tent for our soul right now.
That's right.
And God knows when he's going to call you. You're not going to live a day longer or a day shorter than what he has intended you to live. So why worry? They said in the end, the living might envy the dead. So, you know, if you're going to die, that's okay too, you know. So, you know, I thought of that with the people dying in the COVID. Maybe, you know, a lot of those people, that's how God saved their souls. Maybe, you know, later on, something else would have happened with things happening in the world that would have made them lose their souls. Who knows? Right. God knows what's the best time for each person to go. But, you know, I was reading here in volume 20, October 15th, 1926. He said, it is established that in the celestial fatherland, they will receive as much glory, beatitude, and happiness for as much of my will as they have enclosed in their souls on earth. Their glory will be measured by that very will of mine that their souls will possess. Nor will they be able to receive more, because their capacity and wideness is formed by that very divine will that they have done and possessed while living on earth. And even if my liability wanted to give them more, they would lack the space to confirm it, and it would overflow outside. So Why waste time? This is the time now to live in his divine will. It's going to determine your place in heaven for all eternity. In heaven, you cannot do more acts and rounds than divine will. You got to do them now, you know. And so to prepare for that, in heaven, everybody's living in the divine will. But you can't get any more merit. Your merit is set at the time of your death here. And he says, now, my daughter, of all that my will has established to give to creatures, of all of its acts, they have taken very little. They have known little until now, because its kingdom has not yet been known, but not even possessed. Therefore, in heaven, it cannot give all its complete glory are all the joys and happiness it possesses, because it finds itself in the midst of children who are incapable and of small stature. This is why it awaits the time of its kingdom with so much love and yearning, to have its total dominion and to give from its fiat everything it has established to give to creatures. Therefore, farming children are who are capable of receiving all of its goods. And only these children will make the glory for all the blessed, for the children of the kingdom of my will be completed in the celestial fatherland, because they have enclosed what my will wanted, giving it free field of action and of dominion. Therefore, they will have the essential glory, as they will have the capacity and the space to contain it. And through them, the others will have the accidental glory. And all together they will enjoy the complete glory and the full happiness of my will. So the kingdom of the supreme fiat will be the full triumph of heaven and of earth. So if you just think of that, you're going to get happy. You're going to stop worrying. You're going to think God has, you know, the scripture says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard what God has in store for those who love him. If we think of heaven, what he has in store for us in heaven, we wouldn't be lamenting. We wouldn't be so sad. Live for him and live for him alone every moment of your life, because life is short. Even if you live 100 years, it's short compared to eternity. It's just a drop of a bucket in a bucket, you know, compared to eternity. So we need to live it well, live it right now, and love. That's the divine will. It's all about love. We must just really love each other, love God with all our hearts, see him in everyone, and read the divine will writings, so that when you do acts and rounds in divine will, they're more powerful according to how much knowledge you have about the divine will.
Yeah. And Mother, before we move on, I don't want to miss this opportunity, because, you know, we have mutual support here between the gospel and the book of heaven. Okay, they each support each other. Actually, the book of heaven explicates, makes it better understood. You know, what you read in the first passage basically is proven and grounded in what we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. So it's Jesus explaining the same thing that he's given to us in scripture in a more definitive mode, and with the grace, greater graces, to be able to understand it. So again, that's the explication. That's the Article 66 of our Catholic Catechism, that what has already been given to us will be better known through the ages, through the generations. And it's through the words of mystics, I think, which is Article 67, that will help make us understand. It won't add anything, but it'll help us to understand what it means at a particular time in our world. So again, we've got Article 66, we've got Article 67, we have everything. It's all structured, it's all been placed in order in our Holy Catholic Church. Everything necessary for salvation we have in our church. So therefore, there's nowhere else to go.
It's and you know, when we think these negative thoughts, we're just bringing ourselves down and everybody around us. You just need to really look at the positive things in your life and what God is doing in your life. And a great positive thing is he's given you the gift of the divine will. That's a great gift. And so thank him and praise him and look at that as a great positive thing in your life. And don't waste time lamenting over things that you can't do a thing about.
Yeah. And you're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in our home. This is the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the Divine Will. I'm Peter DePalma, and I'm joined with Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will. I had to get that in there, sister. Sorry, I jumped in front of you. Go ahead. I think sister was going to say something.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, you need to hydrate.
No, Mother was saying before that it's important to do acts in the divine will, and that's true. It's very important. But also, I was reading before during my adoration a little passage from what Jesus told Kindleman, what's the name of Elizabeth Kindleman, that Jesus, it's very sad because during the day we don't call Jesus, and it's exactly the same as Jesus say in the divine will. Basically, we have to do everything together with him, and if we do everything by ourselves, of course it's impossible to do it everything calling Jesus every time, every action you do. But even when we remember to say, Jesus, come and do this with me, Jesus, what do you think about it, to make a Jesus get involved, yes, be a part of our life, he's very, very happy, and we need to get used to do that. I know every day when I start doing things, I do the things and I don't even think of Jesus. I don't even ask him if he likes it, or I don't even talk to him. And then at the end of the day, I think, wow, today I did everything and without even asking Jesus anything or making him part of the things that I did. So we need to get used to ask Jesus to do everything with us, and to make this little or big conversation to at least to start.
That's a great point, sister. And we're all in the same scenario. We all do the same thing, but at least you recognized it. Now that you recognize it, it's going to become more natural to do it. So kudos.
Yeah.
Sister Benedicta, sorry.
Yes, no, it's okay. And also we need to see these as opportunities, because yes, you know, like if you read all over, you know, in the volumes, you know, that Jesus talks about the cross and how important it is, and how precious suffering is. And I was reading, and even these worrying and uncertainty, they're sufferings, you know, and those are things that we can offer to the Lord and resign and abandon to him continuously. And in May 2nd, 1905, Jesus talks about types of resurrections. There's three types of resurrection with suffering. So the first one, just quickly, he says that first suffering makes a soul rise again to grace. Second, as suffering advances, it gathers the virtues and the soul rises again to sanctity. And third, as suffering continues, it perfects the virtues. It embellishes them with splendor, forming a beautiful crown. And the soul crowned rises again to glory on earth and to glory in heaven. So if we focus, if we, like, you know, we were talking about earlier, spiritualizing it, and realizing that this is an opportunity, it's a grace for us to be able to give God more glory here on earth.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, that motto, fiat always, sister, can really be applied to everything. Again, we've talked about this. If it's raining out, fiat, then there's work to be done inside the house. If it's sunny out, fiat, there's work to be done outside. There's something to be done. Now, we shouldn't say, oh, it's raining, I can't go out. No, it's raining, I'm going to be inside, let me make the best of it. I think it's just a paradigm shift, I think, from our wanting everything in the world to living in the spiritual world where we receive, accept, and are grateful for everything that God gives us. You're listening to The School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will, on Radio Maria, a Christian voice in our home. This is the era of Mary, and Mary's going to be guiding us. He's guiding Radio Maria. He's hopefully guiding the School of Mary. And every day that we journey with Radio Maria, with the School of Mary, we can never go back to yesterday. Never.
Setbacks, uncertain roads, and free.
Listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now return to the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will.
And again, thank you, Larry and Radio Maria. I want to welcome everyone back to the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will. Now, we're going to take a little bit of a pause here. I'd like to introduce somebody. I'd like to introduce Miss Beth Marcello from Louisiana. She's going to tell us about something happening in her neck of the woods this Saturday, and I'd like to say hello. Hi, Beth. Say hello to Radio Maria and the audience, and of course, to Larry.
Hello, all. Hello. Hello, mother and sisters.
Hello. Hi.
So nice to be here. Because of obedience to our Lord in the divine will, we here in Louisiana, in Thibodaux, a little southern town, I know Mother's very familiar with it. We are hosting a, it's sort of like a watch party, but we have about 40 people who are gathering together to learn more about living in the divine will. And we're going to have food pre-wrapped, of course, and we're going to have mass that our local priest, Father Joseph Tregg, is going to be celebrating for us at 11 a.m. Central Time. It's going to be broadcast because of Peter and his great work that he does with Mary's Hill and through Radio Maria. And we're going to have three speakers and two hosts. And so hopefully this will go throughout the world and everybody can learn more about the how to live in the divine will, what it's brought to all of our lives. So Thibodaux is on fire and we are doing God's work. Praise the Lord, and our Blessed Lady is protecting us and guiding us along the way. We're going to also, and Bishop Shelton Faub, who is our Bishop of the Diocese, has approved it. So we're very grateful, especially under all these circumstances that we have to have these restrictions. We are just living with Jesus and hoping that it can touch many, many lives.
Well, thank you for that, Beth. And yeah, it's going to be no stranger to Radio Maria. We've got Radio Maria's children, Mother Gabriel Marie, the Benedictine Daughters of Divine will be there via live stream, of course. Father Joseph Leo Iannuzzi will be there, and Father Celso will be there, and Daniel O'Connor will be co-hosting with me. So everyone that I just mentioned has been on Radio Maria. Of course, Mother and Father have programmed. So again, it's going to be a sort of a Radio Maria 2 in Louisiana, which actually Radio Maria is in Louisiana. So you can't make this stuff up. Mother, did you want to say something?
No, I look forward to it. I know Beth well, you know, and yes, and the Thibodaux is on fire with a lot of things. There's a lot of adoration chapels, the Flame of Love. They're really really strong with that, and with the Divine Will, it's beautiful. I'm so happy that it's growing there in Thibodaux. So yeah, we have a lot to be grateful for. And you know, the Lord is moving and great things are happening everywhere. People have to think more positively about things because we have to look at the good things that happen. If they had a radio station, a news program that would just talk about good news, I wonder how many people would watch it. You know, it's like people almost wanting to hear what's going on wrong, the wrong things in the world. But we have to look at all the good things that are happening in the world. And you know, even you can spiritualize everything. Afghanistan, people are being martyred. Isn't that a wonderful thing to die for Christ? The church is built on the blood of martyrs. So we have to pray for the people that are martyring them, that they're converted, because these people are gone straight to heaven. And we just have to pray for the courage of those who may be called to martyrdom, that they won't pull back. They'll be happy to give their lives for Christ. So those are all gifts. Martyrdom is a gift from God. So you look at all these things and you look at the bright side of everything. Those people have gone straight to heaven, you know. So, you know, you have to be grateful to God that he's doing this in their lives. He's allowing them to have the gift of martyrdom. So even when you look at the news, you can look at the bright side of everything in the news. Sister Teresa, you wanted to share something?
Yes, I was thinking, because we are speaking about to not be worried about our life. And also the beginning, Peter, you told that divine will is the fulfillment of our Father, the prayer of our Father. And that make me to think about a specific word of that prayer. Give us our daily bread. We are too much focus on what we need, the things that we need, or in the future, what we can do or we can do. This is an error, because we are focused on what we have and not on what we are. And if we are focused in Jesus, we can try to, reading this writing, to understand how is the life in divine will. We have all in divine will. We have to start from the spiritual life, for understand that not all that we want, we desire, is necessary for our life. Yes, it's not easy, because we are in this contest. So we are many things that give us a condizionamento. Is it conditioning? Yeah, conditional our life. But it's not easy. We cannot be heroic person. We have our miseries, but we have to try to make an effort to go over our limits. And I was thinking about these bad things. There is a lady in my city, is a neighbor of my parents. Now she's old. And one time she told me, I don't know why she told me these things. I don't remember what is our conversation. And she told me that she was pregnant. And she was a farmer, and they had a very difficult period, because they have not many products from the land. And she told that this her condition to one of her friends. And this friend told her, "But you have an opportunity, because it was at the beginning of the law about abortion. And you have an opportunity. You can go in hospital. You can have an abortion if you have all this problem." So she say, "I start only 1 minute to think about this option, and I feel very, very strange. And I told to God, 'God, I can do this for me, for you, for what you are, for what is our life. It's impossible for me. I will do never these things.'" And she say, "I have a boy, a little boy. And after, there was an explosion of fruits from the land. It's not because I desire these things, but it was a big sign from God. It's a blessing from God." So we can judge all these people who are oppressed by this problem, because probably they are poor, and there are many situations, bad situations around them that push them to do this evil option. We call option is a bad evil. But if we try to stop and to think about what is before Sister Gemma told, okay, I have to stop. I have to think what Jesus should do in my position. I have to call Jesus in my action, in my thinking, and so miracle can happen.
Yeah, you know, Sister, it's so important because you mentioned about the spiritual. You know, the true life is spiritual life, and it takes attention. Jesus tells us that to be very attentive. He mentions that dozens and dozens of times, if not more. I'd just like to just read a couple lines quickly from Volume 35, August 23rd, 1937. Again, good advice for us from Jesus. Quote, "My daughter, there is a great difference between those who are absorbed in attention with their eyes and heart fixed on my will and those who are simply content to experience it without giving it much attention," end quote. So we can put that mother in the same context of reading the volumes. You know, we're not reading the volumes just to read. We're reading the volumes to absorb, to grow, and to receive the gift. It's like the only thing that I remember from my economics teacher. He says, you don't go into business to be in business. Well, if you go in business, you're in business to make money. So again, there's an end goal. And what is the end goal that we have? The end goal is, of course, to be with God for eternity. Well, we can now take our cause of being alive, to know God, to love God, to serve God, and now to possess God as part of all three of those combined. Again, the explication of what's already been given to us. Mothers, sisters?
Yes, it truly takes a lot of time and patience to learn and embrace the suffering. But we should just keep at it and do the best we can because God will give us the grace and help. And when we feel persecution, suffering, misunderstanding, or injustice, we got to remember that Jesus is with us. And even for Jesus, even though he was God, it wasn't easy for him to go through the passion. Not even for Mary, it wasn't easy for them to suffer. But because of the divine will, they were able to carry the cross and brought the good out of those difficulties. So whatever we suffer, we got to remember that we can use it to heal and medicate Jesus's wounds, because Jesus said to Louisa that suffering is a great honor that he can give us. All the saints in heaven, angels and souls in the purgatory, they envy us because we can suffer, and they understand the merits of the suffering and crosses. So we should not waste our precious opportunities to help Jesus with our sufferings. And because suffering is such a contradiction to Satan, and one time a demon threatened Louisa to physically harm her, but because she was so brave, and instead of being afraid of the threat of suffering, she encouraged the demon to go and find the stick and beat her. And she also said, "Each drop of blood I shed will be one more proof of love, of reparation, and of glory, which I intend to give to my God." So after she said that, the devil discussed with another demon, and they said, "It's useless for us to go back. If we beat her, they will harm us and will be a loss for us. It's good to make suffer one who does not want to suffer, because he would offend God. But if one wants to suffer, we would do harm to ourselves with our own hands." So this is the secret, as Mother told before. So we have to, when we find ourselves in suffering, we gotta embrace it with resignation and give praise and thanks to God. And then the demon will flee. And God will give us strength to carry the cross. And God knows our ability that we can carry it. So God trusts us, so we have to trust God. Also, in Medjugorje, I read in the book, My Heart Will Triumph, there was a story, an Italian lady, she was crying before the statue of Our Lady. She was crying out, "Why me? Why me?" And then the visionary Mariana, she was watching this and praying for her with compassion. And after a while, she stood up with a smile. So Mariana, she approached her and asked her what happened. And she said that she has three handicapped children, and she was having really hard and tough life. But then she said that during her prayer, her question to God, "Why me?" changed to, "Why not me?" So she didn't ask for miracles or healings, but she received the spiritual healings. So one way or another, we have to face the crosses, because God handpicked the cross for us with love, and we are
working towards a heaven on earth. And these crosses that are planned for us, they need to come one way or another because Jesus will make sure we get them. So if we try to run away from it, it's only delaying our progress on our road to home. So we gotta focus on the purpose of the pains or on the fruits of the crosses rather than ourselves, and then ask God for graces to carry the cross for the strength. And even though we will fall many times and we'll get discouraged, but He will give us the strength to carry the cross.
Yeah. Sister Gloria, when you were reading that, I just kept thinking about the word opportunity. We've talked about that before. You know, it's almost like as we're going through our day, no matter what our day is, good, bad, or indifferent, we're taking a multiple set of quizzes, all preparing us for that final exam. What I mean by that is volume 28, February 22nd, 1930. Jesus says, quote, "It may be said that this is the sign for one to know whether one lives in the divine will, immutability in the good. And this is the sign for one to know that one lives in the human will, changing with every little disturbance." So how do we exercise the virtues, Jesus tells us? Well, we need those opportunities present in which we need that person to cut us off in the parking lot, so to speak. We need to have these situations, again, through God's permissible will, that test our patience and that help us to increase our virtue, that we may be steadfast, immutable. And then again, focusing on the spiritual. It's all connected. And just if we just take our little bit of time to reflect on it, I think, Mother, through the grace of God, it all comes to make sense.
And our Lord, you know, Louisa asked our Lord once, how could you suffer all you suffered on the cross? She was thinking of His physical suffering, you know, and also in His interior suffering was much greater than His physical suffering. But He said, because I didn't focus on the suffering, I focused on the value of the suffering. What was the consequences of my suffering on the cross? And that's what we have to do. If you think about your pain, it gets worse. If you think about others, you forget about your pain. You don't feel it that's as right. much, you know. So we're our worst enemy. We think about ourselves and become miserable. We think about others and God, mostly if we think about God and doing His will and doing acts and around them, we become happy. You know, it's to get in the habit. We have to start somewhere. Right. You have to work at getting in a habit. You might want to even write little notes on your mirror in different places. Do acts and rounds in divine will. Don't forget. Just to remind yourself to keep doing it. You know, I was just reading in October 15th, 1926, volume 20, our Lord was talking about in heaven. He said, they not only do my will, but they live in it. They possess it as their own thing and as their own kingdom. And if they did it, but did not possess it, their happiness would not be full, because true happiness begins in the depth of the soul. To do the will of God does not mean to possess it, but to submit oneself to its commands, while to live in it is possession. Therefore, in the Our Father, in the words, "Your will be done," in the prayer that all may do the supreme will, on earth as it is in heaven, that man may return into that will from which he came in order to reacquire his happiness, the lost goods, and the possession of his divine kingdom. So to do His will, the saints did His will, but in heaven, those who lived in His will have the highest places in heaven, because they didn't only do His will, but they allowed Him to do His will in them. That's the difference. And so we have that opportunity now. But if we lament, we worry, we think about all negative things, we don't trust in God, we're not living in His will, then we're losing that. We're losing merit for all eternity in heaven. So, you know, I just encourage everyone to, like you said before, Peter, not just to read the volumes, but to let them soak into your heart and soul, to let them penetrate deep within, because then you understand. And, you know, it's our faith. It's not about feelings. You're not going to feel anything when you're doing action. You're not going to feel God within you doing it. Louisa had that opportunity. Our Lord sometimes let her feel His body in hers, in her hand, she could feel His hand. He might not do that with us. He probably won't. He had a mission for Louisa in that way. But for us, it's a little different, you know. But he wants you to live by faith. And when you continue to do these things without the feelings, with the darkness, the dryness, but knowing that what he said, his word is true. His word is real. What he says in these volumes really is happening. He says every time you do an act and round in divine will, you're producing divine lives. Jesus's. You're producing lives of Jesus. You know, and so that's how you empty yourself of you and fill yourself with him. So we have to really, really, you know, strive to do that and realize it's your desire that makes it a reality. Your desire to love him with his love, you're loving him with his love. You don't have to feel it. You just have to desire it and know that it's happening. Have that faith. He says, if you have faith like a mustard seed, you can move mountains, you know, and so that's just a tiny bit of faith. You know, if we have that little bit of faith, we can move mountains. So we have to have faith in him working in and through us as we call him into our activities, that he's actually doing it, not us, and they become divine acts.
Yeah, now that you mentioned desire, my mother, I have a little passage here from volume 12 that it talks about desire, and it say, you do not need paths, nor doors, nor keys to enter into my divine will. To enter, creatures need but remove the pebble of their own will. A soul has but to desire. And all it's done. My will assumes all the work. So it's, yeah, to receive the gift of the divine will, we need only one thing, to desire to receive it and to desire to no longer give life to our human will.
Our Lord says, too, in October 17th, 1926, it seems I cannot do without continuing. Well, Louisa was saying this, continuing my round in the supreme will. I feel it is my true home, and only when I go around within it, then am I content, because I find everything that belongs to my sweet Jesus. And by virtue of his will, all that belongs to him is also mine. So everything that he has put in all creation is ours. He told Louisa at one point, he said, if I love each creature so much, if I'd have had to make a whole world and whole universe for each one, I would have done it. But everything belongs to you. Everything belongs to each one of us. So we put our I love you on all the stars in the sky that we see. It's mine. Those stars are mine. I can give them back. He gave them to me. I can give them back to him. But they belong also to Sister Benedicta, to Sister Gemma, to everybody else here. We all own those stars. But that's okay. We don't fight over them. They're all ours, each one of us, you know, and we don't envy each other. You know, Sister talked about envy. Well, the souls in purgatory and the people and the saints in heaven, they can't envy, because envy is a negative thing. But if they could, that's what they would envy, that they could suffer that we can suffer and they can't. If they could come back to earth to do anything, that's what they would want to do, because they realize the value of suffering. And so when we're suffering all these things that we talked about from the very beginning that are happening in the world, the worry, the concern, that's a suffering. If you don't know how to get rid of the worry, at least you say, Jesus, come worry in my worrying, and maybe it'll go away, because he doesn't want to worry, you know, and the devil will flee, because at least you're calling upon him for something, you know. Now, he's not going to worry in you, but he may give you that peace. You know, you just be honest with Jesus. If you're worrying, if you're upset, talk to him. He'll take it away. He'll help you resolve it. Don't bury it and say, well, I don't have no one to talk to. You don't have to tell other people about it. The more you discuss it with others, the more negativity you're spreading to other people. But if you go to Jesus, he understands. Spill out your heart to him. Louisa did. She told him all kinds of things. I wouldn't be able to tell him things that she told him. You know, she was always... She would fuss at him, you know, and he would respond. You know, he liked that because she was honest, you know. So Mother Angelica used to do that. She didn't have money to pay for everything, and she fussed at God, and he would give her the money, you know. So because he sees the heart, he knows they're honestly telling him how they feel. So go to him and tell him how you feel. Spill your heart out to him. He's the one you need to talk to about your worries, your concerns, and then they will be resolved. And thank and praise him for them, because that's a cross. You can say, thank you and praise you for this cross, Jesus. I'm suffering, I'm worrying, I'm concerned. Thank you for this cross. And it's going to go away because the devil's going to flee because he doesn't want you to thank and praise God for things that he's doing. So, I mean, there's all kinds of ways you can spiritualize what's happening to you in your life every day, you know. But don't waste time. Louisa continues on. She says, therefore, I have much to give to my beloved good. Even more, there is so much to give him that I never finish giving him everything. So I remain always with the desire to go back and continue my realm to be able to give him everything that belongs to his adorable will. So all of these things belongs to him. He gives them to us, and he just wants us to return them to him. And it's very simple. A child can do that. The divine will is very, very simple. God is simple. He's not complicated. When we get complicated, we kind of lose sight of what the divine will really means, you know. But it's very, very simple to do. You just call God into all your activities. You put your I love you in everything that he's created, everything he's given you, even things that man has made. You can thank God for them, because cars, tractors, everything that we use to do work with, God has made those things through mankind. He has made those things. He has allowed man to make these things. And so we can thank and praise him for them. We can't do anything without God. So God is the author of everything. And we have to realize that, you know, and yeah, see him in everything around us.
Mother, you were talking about the saints, and the saints, were doing the will of God throughout the day, and of course they had to rest. Our human bodies need to rest. The difference with the divine will is there's no gaps, there's no pauses in the divine will, and that's why we mentioned earlier in the program, Jesus's operative rest. It's like even when we're resting, when we're sleeping, God is still working in and through us. Right. It's never ending. And and let's not forget also what Saint Bernard of Clairvaux said. Again, church doctor. He's in the breviary, I think number 169, read by all the clergy. He says about the three comings, this third coming, this intermediate coming, which right now is the divine will, of course, is a hidden one. In it, only the elect see the Lord within their own selves, and they are saved. The first coming, the Lord came in our flesh and in our weakness. In this middle coming, he is our rest and consolation. And with that being said, rest and consolation, I highly recommend everyone, if they'd like to read from volume 29, October 4th, 1931. Jesus talks about the operative rest, the peaceful sleep, not the restless sleep that many are having today because of worry, fear, anxiety. This is the sleep that you dream of and that pills cannot give you. It's sleeping in the will of God. And again, please, volume 29, October 4th, 1931. Don't have time to do that right now. Back to you, Mother.
Yeah. Well, yeah, if we have peace, if we're not worried, we can sleep better. So, like I said before, worry doesn't accomplish anything. You're not going to change anything with worry, but you got to use, if you have concerns about, you can be concerned about things and pray about them. But if you just focus on God, what this one sister was, a sister many years ago, she was worried about her brother who was living a bad life. And she had mystical experiences, and our Lord appeared to her and he says, you take care of me and I'm going to take care of him. In other words, stop worrying about your brother. You focus on me and I'm going to take care of your brother. And so she did. She started focusing on God and just, praying for her brother, but not being worried about her brother. And he was converted and transformed, And so, I think that's what God will take care of your family more if you stop worrying and you just pray for them with trust and confidence that your prayers are being answered by God. He's going to take care of your family. I know this friend of mine told me that she had gotten involved in the charismatic renewal, and she began many years ago. This was back in the 60s. And she began to, every night before she went to bed, consecrate all of her family members to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And within 1 year, they were all converted. So you can just say that you pray your rosary for them. God will do great things through the rosary. The rosary is a prayerful, powerful prayer. Our Lady has asked in most of all of her apparitions for us to pray the rosary, but pray it well. One lady wrote the other day, she says, they're asking for the whole rosary, and how can I say the whole rosary? She says, if I say the whole rosary, I might not say it well. I said, one rosary, the whole rosary is 15 decade rosary. Now I have to Pope John Paul II added 5 more mysteries. So the luminous mysteries. So now we have 20 decade rosary. I try to say the 20 decade rosary, but it's not always said so well, because if I say one rosary well, that's better than 3 rosaries not said well. So don't worry. Pray from your heart. That's the most important thing. If you pray one rosary well, Our Lady will be very pleased with you.
That's right. That's right. Well, speaking of please, we hope you've enjoyed this program. We've come to close to the end. One last thing I'd like to say is, you know, we were talking about briefly about how the divine will and scripture complement each other. I just was able to find volume 23, January 18th, 1928. This is our blessed Lord speaking. Quote, "Now what I manifest on my divine will and that you write, Louisa, can be called the gospel of the kingdom of the divine will. In nothing does it oppose either sacred scripture or the gospel that I announced while being on earth. On the contrary, it can be called the support of one and of the other," end quote. So reading them together, the gospel will be fully explicated. The grace given to each and every one of us will give us the opportunity to understand the language of heaven, and we're off to the races, as they say. No better way to live, no fear, no worry, no anxiety, no paralysis, like Sister Lasoto mentioned about. If we get ourselves so uptight, we'll end up in the hospital. And what good are we to others if we're in the hospital? Well, we can still pray, but again, fighters are needed. We all need to be Joan of Arcs, and I think God has got us all in place. Let's just say a quick